another episode here of Whiskey Throttle Radio. Thank you guys so much for listening. On this show, we have Delaware privateer Cody Shock, who just got himself a 15th overall at Southwick this past weekend. So we talked to him about that, his season so far, getting the Supercross license, and his plans for the future. Also on this episode is South African rookie Justin Thompson, who we talk about his season so far. He went 20-20 at Southwick. Supercross, you know, coming over from South Africa, the transition and all that good stuff. As always, huge shout out to our sponsor, Blood Lubricants, makers of high quality racing oil. But they also have chain lube, degreaser, they have it all. So make sure to check them out at bloodlubricants.com. That's B-L-U-D, lubricants.com. And make sure you use the promo code WHISKEY to get you 25% off all Blood racing products. They help out top privateers like Henry Miller and Tyler Bowers. They got a bunch of guys under the tent. So make sure to give them a look and use that discount code WHISKEY. As always, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and you can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. All right, showtime. On the line with me right now is a privateer out of Delaware. It's Cody Shock. What's up, man?
Not much, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for doing this.
Nah, I appreciate you for wanting to do this.
Yeah, man. I had to after that 15th overall at Southwick. I went 17-14. That's got to feel awesome.
Yeah, that's my best career finish ever. Super stoked. I've always, you know, going pro, I always told myself I wouldn't consider myself a legit pro until I scored a pro point. Mm-hmm. And last year at Buds Creek, I made inside top 20. I went 19-20 and got my first three pro points. And then officially I was like, okay, I can call myself a pro. And then, you know, obviously this year coming in, I had new expectations and I knew I could run inside top 20 because I did it once. I've always wanted to get top 15 and I told myself I'm going to get top 15 this year. And, I didn't really think it was going to be at Southwick, but, yeah, I just felt good that day and just had a lot of fun. And yeah, getting 17th, the first moto was pretty cool. And then getting 14th, the second moto was literally insane. Cause I didn't really have any idea.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then I was like, shoot, I really hope that a 17-14 could get me at least a 15th overall just because it looks cool on paper.
Yeah,
and definitely when I found out that it was 15th overall, I was like, wow, this is going to be a good Instagram post.
It's funny you mentioned you didn't think you'd get it at Southwick. I went back to like look at your results. Like, is he just a sand specialist? But your past Southwick results are pretty much just on par for what you were getting. It wasn't anything like out of the ordinary for you, so I guess you're just feeling it that day.
Yeah, I mean, a lot has changed. Like, last year I was on Yamaha, and this year I switched to KTM pretty much 3 weeks prior to High Point. And, yeah, I mean, I haven't had a whole lot of time on the bike, and the more I ride it, obviously the better I feel. And, yeah, I mean, I grew up in sand, so it's, to me, sand is more at home to me. So that's why I always look forward to like to the Sandy Nationals.
I gotcha. You made mention you switched to KTM. What was the reasoning behind the late switch?
Honestly, it was all because of comfort. I was always on Yamaha when I was on little bikes. Then I switched to Honda when I went on the big bikes at first, and then I just went back to my roots because there's something about Yamaha and I felt really good, and. Yeah, I was just out at practice one day at Englishtown in New Jersey, and my buddy was like, hey, try this thing. So I tried it, And I knew right then and there, I was like, it's not that I want this, it's I need it, because I knew the bike could take me to the next level. And I mean, for me to do the switch like last minute and already score inside top 15, to me is pretty big. So definitely feels good, and I'm just excited to see what the other nationals hold for me.
Yeah, obviously it was a good switch, because like you said, you just got, you know, best result ever with a little bit of time on the bike. So it definitely seems like it makes sense. I'm a KTM guy. I have a 350, so I'd have to agree with you. I can't really get comfortable on the Japanese bikes. It's weird every time I try to switch back. So KTMs definitely feel at home for me.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is the frame. Just the frame itself. You know where the bike's going to go, and it's super predictable, where, the other brands, I feel like they tend to flex too much, causing, like, me to start from the inside of a turn and fade too far out. But I think the other thing is, and honestly, like, the brakes on the KTMs and, like, Huskies, like, you can't beat the Brembo.
Yeah.
That's huge. So... But no, I mean, overall, I'm super stoked. I never would have saw myself going KTM, but I'm so stoked that I did.
Yeah, I could definitely see that too. And with your results, the track, the thing about the track, man, obviously Southwick, the sand, it's going to get super whooped out and super gnarly, but it looked really bad, worse than I've seen it in a while in that second moto. Was that just the TV, or was it really bad out there?
No, it was really bad. A lot of the guys, if you listen to them, like, in press and stuff, they said that, I'll agree, like, during practice, it wasn't super sandy. It wasn't, like, the typical deep sand. And, you know, first moto, like, we started, like, break through the base, and then all of a sudden, second moto, it was, like, that track was endless. And it just, the holes kept getting deeper and deeper, and I was just like, holy crap, like, this is getting pretty gnarly, because I thought last year was gnarly. And last year was super hot too as well, but no, this year Southwick was a whole new animal for everyone.
Yeah, it kind of just seemed like everyone was surviving there at the end. Talk about last year Southwick being hot. Obviously, we just raced last weekend, or you guys just raced last weekend in Florida. Was that super gnarly hot? I mean, I was there watching, and it was pretty brutal.
Yeah, there was talk that in the pro pits, it was like they put like black rock down for us.
Yeah, it was.
And it was like
stupid.
They said it was like 130 degrees.
Yeah, I believe it.
And it was hot. And then it would be weird because we would go to the line, and I'd be like, "Is it getting cooler outside?" Mm-hmm. But I mean, it was still like 108 on the track with the 100% humidity.
Yeah.
And it was really bad. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I struggled, but that day, at the end of the day, I felt like I won, because I didn't need an IV. So many people were struggling.
Yeah.
And it was like the line into the medical tent was just insane.
Really? That's
yeah.
I mean,
it was
sorry.
So many riders need. No, you're fine. So many riders needed help, and so many people were pulling off and pretty much like throwing up. And I mean, I threw up second moto with the I threw up right when the 2 card came out.
Jeez.
And right then and there, I just pulled off the track because I could feel the heat exhaustion coming in effect. And I mean, I'm pretty I care about my health a lot, so I wasn't gonna let myself get to that point.
Yeah, and you look at like Chase Sexton, who couldn't even really race this weekend in Southwick. Just he's still feeling the effects from the heat. I mean. And obviously, I mean, he's training down at the sandbox or whatever it's called now. It's not so much if you're in shape or not sometimes. It's just how you handle the heat. And like you said, you threw up. You were feeling the exhaustion come in. You didn't push to that next level, which could have hurt you this week, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I understand why they had to go to that next level because, you know, they're on a factory team and they're expected to perform. But, I mean, at the same time, you got to look at the longevity. Like, is it really – worth pushing your body to that limit? Because after Florida, I let my body completely rest. I kept just staying hydrated and eating everything that that could, like, you know, replenish my body. And I didn't do anything until that Wednesday. And I, even on that Wednesday, I did like a 40-minute bike ride to warm up. And then I did a 30-minute moto, and I called it. Like, I did those two little things, and then I went to Southwick. And fortunately, I didn't have any signs of weakness at Southwick. My body fully recovered. But no, I mean, I know a lot of people, they did not do anything between the week of Florida and Southwick.
Yeah, that was, you kind of answered for me. That was going to be my next question was, did you take it easy in the weeks in between, or did you keep it the same program? But it sounds like you took it pretty easy.
Yeah. I was going to take it easy, and I was like, you know what, I think I can do this. And then, you know, when Racer X on Instagram posts saying, like, hey, like, we advise, like, all riders to really rest up this week, you know, it's pretty serious. So I was like, all right, I'll listen to that.
Yeah, probably not a bad idea. I was so surprised that they – I'm from Florida, so I know how hot it gets. And, like, I was surprised, like, when they put WW on the series, because, like, it's probably a great track and stuff, but it's going to be brutally, brutally hot, like how Freestone used to be.
Yeah, for sure. To be honest, I didn't even think about that. I saw the races, and I was like, all right, let's go racing. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, think if, like, sitting back and looking at it, like, it's pretty gnarly what they did. I mean, you have High Point, and it sometimes can be hot up there. And then, you know, we went to Florida, and then we went to Southwick, and Florida and Southwick, those are legit two of the gnarliest races, considering that they're both sand.
Yeah.
And then, even, I mean, even going to, yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, even going to Redbud now, it's like, holy crap.
Yeah, so. I mean, I know you're doing just the East Coast round so far, and I guess the first, even High Point wasn't terribly hot, but even the first three were relatively cool. So even Florida, in that sense, was kind of just like a shock for everyone because they hadn't experienced that heat yet.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, my body went in the shock as well because where I live, in Delaware, like, we'll get, you know, 85, maybe 90 degrees, but our humidity isn't, like, crazy.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, I train outside and stuff, and I do everything I can, but, I mean, when I'm not, you know, able to go to a training facility or really ride during the week a whole lot, there's not much you can do to prepare for that. So, really, it's just to hydrate as much as you can and literally just go send it.
that definitely makes sense. What do you do for training during the week, and are you your full privateer driving all the rounds?
Yeah, so pretty much I try to keep it pretty basic. I used to hate running, but after living down at Club MX during the winter for like Supercross and stuff, like trying to get my license, I was living with Tony Archer and Kenny Day, and they love to run. And I was like, dang, like, I'm going to have to try to teach myself how to, like, love running. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean, I run now. I do, like, 5 miles just to get a good workout in. And I bike ride as well. I just go on road bike rides. And around me is pretty nice because there's a lot of, like, farmland. So you just kind of enjoy the scenery type. And, yeah, I mean, besides that, just put in motos when I can on Wednesdays. So I keep it pretty basic, and our schedule for me, because my dad and my mom come with me to every round, we'll leave on Thursday mornings, and we'll drive to the track, and, you know, we get there, do our thing, and Saturday night we'll start driving home, stop at a rest stop, and then finish the drive on Sunday.
I gotcha.
So that's kind of how we've been doing it.
When you do your motos, are you riding by yourself, or do you have anyone else up there that you ride with?
Unfortunately, I have to do them by myself, because there's, I don't know, it just, some riders like to ride with others, and some don't, and I always want to ride with people, but it's hard to find those people that actually want to put in a moto with you. Mm-hmm. So, pretty much my whole life, I've kind of always done things on my own, and just show up racing, and, I mean, if you race the track... That's what my dad has always told me. If you race the track, I mean, that's the only thing that's going to, you know, challenge you. So, yeah.
Do you have a track at your house? You go to a local spot, or Where do you ride?
No. So I have to travel like 2 hours in either direction to either Buds Creek if I want to go there, or I'll ride in Millville, New Jersey, or Englishtown, New Jersey. Or sometimes I ride in the sand pits. But regardless, if I just want to ride my dirt bike, I have to drive like 2 hours now, because I used to have a track 20 minutes away from me called Snake Creek, and that's where I grew up. And, you know, got older, started working the track, and the lady that owned it, she wanted to retire. So, I mean, you got to respect that. And, yeah, we used to have three tracks in Delaware, and all three are shut down now. So, yeah, it's kind of now I got to travel just to ride my dirt bike. But, I mean, it makes you appreciate riding way more, so.
Dude, yeah. I'm from Miami. I'm in like Tampa area now, but I was from Miami, and our closest one was 3 hours away. So I know all how that feels. It sucks.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, like, you got to make the most fun out of it. I mean, you got to learn to like road trips. So,
You mentioned you got your Supercross points this year, and we saw you at in New Jersey and Vegas. How'd those last two rounds go? And are you feeling comfortable now? You got two rounds under your belt. Looking forward to next year?
Yeah. Jersey, I definitely struggled at. I mean, it was cool to make the night show. But, no, honestly, just that was a very hectic day with everyone just wanting to talk to me. And I couldn't really, like, focus and just do my own thing. And and then I went to Vegas, and I don't know why, but I totally forgot that it was a east-west. And I was like, oh, snap, like, they only take top 20 from the east. So, yeah, I mean, I missed the night show by 0.6 seconds. And I was like, you know what? I'm really proud of myself, because I rode way better. And I went from qualifying, like, 40th at MetLife to qualifying 22nd in Vegas. And I was like, you know what? Overall, like, although I didn't make it in, I rode way better, and I was way better in times. So, no, I mean, I'm excited. To be honest, I don't know what I'm doing for Supercross next year. I'd love to do it, but I have really nothing lined up for Supercross, but I'm going to do everything I can to try to make it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's still a huge question mark.
I gotcha. You still got time. It's only, what is it, June? Figure it out. So
yeah.
Hopefully something comes together for you. You talked about New Jersey. Talk about hectic with all, you know, friends and family there talking. That track was pretty hectic, man. It was ruddy and nasty.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because, I mean, being down at Club and Max, while I was living down there for the first, like, 5 months of the year, I learned on three different sets of whoops.
Mm-hmm.
And I got them down pretty decent, like, overall. So when I went to MetLife, that was my fourth set I ever did. And those were by far the softest ones I've ever done. So to me, that was a whole new animal. And to be completely honest, I didn't know how to hit them. I was trying to learn how to hit them while trying to put a lap time down and even race. So, yeah, I mean, it was crazy. But, I mean, the ruts and stuff up the face of the jumps and all the turns – That was completely normal to me, because I would always ride at the end of the day at club. So I would always ride on the worst track. But, Jersey was pretty gnarly.
You mentioned riding down at club. Obviously, a lot of, you know, good guys, main event guys in Supercross ride down there. Seems like a pretty good group. Were they able to help you out at all? Or how was it riding with those guys?
It was pretty cool. Definitely learned a lot. Just, you know, being down there with Kenny, because Kenny was helping me out individually. And, yeah, I mean, to be able to ride with Justin Brayton and Josh Osby, even, like, Jace Pennington, like, it was really cool. You know, just watching those guys do their thing. And I would always, like, ask questions, like, here and there, and to be honest, I'll just watch them, and I would try to do what they do. And if it worked, it worked. If not, I knew that wasn't my thing.
Mm-hmm.
But no, that was a really cool experience, because I've never been to a training facility. So being down there for my first time, it was cool to really, you know, soak it all in and see what those guys do.
Yeah, even at like my level, I ride A class off road, and riding with little, like maybe faster guys, just guys who've been doing it for a little bit longer, like just those little things you pick up on, I feel like can help you so much in the end.
Yeah, and I mean, it's crazy, it's weird to think, but like riding Supercross and like learning the technique and stuff, it really helped me for outdoors. Mm-hmm. Just being super precise on what you do.
Yeah.
And with Supercross, everything comes at you a lot faster. So when I went outdoors, everything came to me a lot slower, and it still does, which causes me to go faster because I'm so used to seeing things a certain way. So that was pretty cool to pick up on.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. Let's take it way back here, Cody. How did you first get started riding, and when did you start riding?
So my dad has always rode. And, you know, I was 2 years old, still, you know, in a diaper, and my dad got a four-wheeler laying around, and he put me on it, and he tied like a rope to the kill switch, and he literally let me do circles in the yard. And once I got that down, he put me on an XR50 at like 2.5, and yeah, started riding that. And, you know, just progressed. I never raced 50s. I didn't really know about racing until I was 6, and that's when I got my KX65. And, yeah, just started racing when I was 6, and, yeah, just fell in love with it. And my parents, my dad specifically, he used to play baseball, and that's what he went to college for, and that was his thing. And they tried to get me to play other sports, and I was like, no, like, I want to ride my dirt bike. So, yeah, just kind of stuck.
Mm-hmm. I gotcha. And did you do the whole amateur circuit, going to all the amateur nationals or just Loretta's, or what was that?
So we could only afford to do Loretta's. I know a lot of my buddies at the time that were racing, they would always go to two regionals, or two regions,
mm-hmm.
I should say.
Yeah.
And I always just went to the Northeast. And my dad always told me, he's like, look, if you make it, you make it. If not, it was meant to be.
Yeah.
So tried for my first time in 2009, made it. And then the next 2 years, I missed it. And then, I went back there in 12, 13, 14. I missed 15 because I got injured. I went back in 16. And then, yeah, as soon as I got done in 16, the next week I went to Unadilla for my first pro race. And yeah, I mean, it was a really good day because I qualified out of practice and then I got injured. So, yeah, I mean, I believe everything happens for a reason. So, yeah, I didn't really have the opportunity to do all the huge amateur nationals like all the other kids did.
Mm-hmm.
I went to public school.
Okay.
So I was never homeschooled. I never really got to ride anywhere. I just rode by my house at Snake Creek on Saturday and Sunday, and yeah, I was pretty normal, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, but that, I feel like I talked to a lot of guys on here about that, and like I feel like that almost kind of keeps you fresher, you know, doesn't burn you out traveling the whole country chasing the amateur scene, you know, your whole youth. So it might keep you fresher, might keep you out there now just because you still want to do it instead of getting burnt out.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, in all honesty, I was so stoked for the day for me to finish college. And because then I knew I was going to be able to chase my dream for, mm-hmm. you know, a few years. And that's where I'm at right now. And it's see that it's starting to pay off because I appreciate things way more now.
Yeah.
Not that I didn't before, but I see and understand things now in a different perspective. And yeah, I mean, I'm definitely not burned out. I definitely feel like it's still just the beginning. And, yeah, I'm just super stoked to just keep racing my dirt bike as long as I can and see where it takes me.
Yeah, definitely sounds like an awesome way to do it. Did you have any, I don't want to say rivals, but anybody you race with, you know, growing up in that area that are still racing today?
I mean, that's tough. There's some guys that, you know, just race locally, like here and there, but, guys that race pro, that I race with amateurs, Jeremy Smith.
Okay.
He rings. He's the one that rings the bell because I started racing him on super minis and yeah, he went super minis and straight to big bikes, and he went pro. I think in 2015, I think he went pro. So he turned pro way before like I did.
Okay.
Or no, technically that's a lie because I turned pro the year after. But yeah, I mean Jeremy Smith, he's from Jersey.
I got you. Dude, he
Race.
qualified 8th this weekend, man. He rips.
Oh yeah, Jeremy can rip. It's crazy. You always know he's gonna qualify well, and I don't know how that man does it, but I mean he does it. Where for me, I struggle because I'm more of a racer. That's how I've always been. I mean, I have a good practice speed, but I can never tend to like go race speed in practice. I don't know why. I think part of it's because there's no gate drop, and the intensity isn't like
Yeah.
initially there, but. Yeah, I gotta ask him a few questions on how he gets such a good lap time.
Yeah, maybe you guys can trade pointers and get you guys both, getting up there consistently.
Yeah, no, he's definitely a good dude.
All right, so
So,
you got your top 15. What's your next goal now? Where are we going from here?
so in all honesty, I just wanna keep, along, and if I ride to my like full capability, I'd love to finish inside top 20 again, and let alone top 15. I know I felt the taste of like being in 12th, not being too far behind top 10. So I mean, obviously, I want to get top 10 eventually. Definitely gonna need more fitness. I mean, that's just how it is. But yeah, in all honesty, I'd like to, just keep repeating, top 20, top 15 results, and eventually get a two-digit number. That'd be really cool. And yeah, shoot for a top 10 one day. I'm not sure how soon that would be or how, when it's gonna happen, but yeah, my next few goals are get a two-digit number, score more points, and eventually finish inside top 10.
Yeah, I mean, if you keep having rides like you did in Southwick, that 2-digit number is probably gonna come pretty quick. Thank you so much for coming on. Before I let you go, who do you want to thank?
Oh, I mean, there's definitely a good list. Definitely like to thank Boyson for everything. Solid performance. Hawkeye Farms for getting me a bike to race on this year. Traction MX, Blackheart Graphics, Tamer, 60 helmets, FXR gear, Flow Motorsports for hook me up with the, sweet foot pegs, and W, I'd like to thank as well. Rebellious Synthetics for keeping me, with all the fresh oil products for my bike. Yeah, Ken and Melissa Sutton, they've been a huge part of my program. My buddy Saunders as well. Huge thanks to, my mom and dad for just sticking behind me. And yeah, I mean, I don't think I forgot anyone, but if I did, I apologize. But yeah, just yeah, ready for the future and keep going.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you again for coming on, and hopefully I'll make it out to one of these nationals soon, and we'll catch up.
Heck yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity to be on here.
Yeah, man. Later.
So, all right, take care. See ya.
What's up, guys? We've got some exciting news as our sponsor, Blood Lubricants, continues to push the bar with high-quality products. In addition to their already outstanding racing oil, they've added fork and shock fluid, gear oil, chain lube, kick-ass degreaser, detailer, and pre-race spray. Whether you have a UTV, Harley, ATV, or dirt bike, Blood Lubricants has you covered. They're offering sponsorship opportunities from the amateur level to the pro level, and they're already sponsoring top privateers like Tyler Bowers, Henry Miller, and Bubba Pauly. Racing is in their blood, but that's not all. They want to hook you guys up as well. Head on over to bloodlubricants.com. That's BLUD lubricants.com and use promo code WHISKEY for 25% off your order. No need to rewind it. I'll say it again. 25% off your order with promo code WHISKEY at bloodlubricants.com. Jeff Green hooking you guys up. High quality stuff. Check it out.
back to the show.
All right, on the line with me right now is a rookie out of South Africa, is Justin Thompson. What's up, dude?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
Oh, it's going good. You know, just got done actually watching Southwick yesterday, and just ready to watch some more motocross coming up this weekend.
Yep, Red Bud this weekend.
Yeah, man, this is your rookie year, so I guess you haven't raced that one yet, but that is a crazy round just to be at. But yeah, rookie year, you started your season at High Point. How are you feeling so far?
I'm feeling really good. It's going a little better than what I thought it would go. I scored points in Florida and Southwick, so I'm really happy with that. It's obviously really tough with the heat in Florida, the track in Southwick being so rough, so I'm pretty tired this week, but it's going good.
Yeah, I was at Florida, and it was brutally, brutally hot, and I was just out there standing watching, so I couldn't imagine you guys. What was the recovery like in between, Florida and Southwick? Did you kind of just take it easier, or was it pretty much the same?
Yeah, for me, I only rode once, and off the bike training was pretty mellowed because it was brutal, the heat in Florida, so it was trying to recover as much as we could for Southwick.
I got you. And it seemed like, I know, like, Sexton obviously couldn't even race this weekend in Southwick. I know he tried, and it seemed like some other riders were still feeling the effects. Were you still kind of feeling a little tired or just not as much energy from Florida, or were you pretty much back to 100%?
I felt like I was back to 100%. But during the week, I did have a pretty big practice crash, so that my body was a little sore, but fitness-wise and that, I was back to normal.
I gotcha. You made mention you scored points, obviously, with 2020 at Southwick, and then you scored more points at WW Ranch. Do you just like the sand, or is it kind of just getting accustomed because you started the season? Or what's helped you the last two rounds, I guess?
I think it's just, just getting decent starts and pushing all the way through, because a lot of guys get tired. I've never really been known as a sand rider from South Africa. I've never really been that good, so I think maybe it's changing now. Starting to like the sand a little bit.
I gotcha. And we were talking a little bit earlier. You said you're in Charlotte. Are you? Where are you riding at over there?
I'm riding at Club MX.
Okay. They got some sand down there, don't they?
Yeah, they're main tracks. So it's pretty similar to Florida. Maybe not as sandy, but it's pretty similar.
I gotcha. And obviously a lot of good guys down there. What's it like riding with a big group of fast guys?
It's helped a lot. I'm usually riding on my own, but we started riding with the guys at Club now just before the season started. So I feel like that's helped a lot with intensity and speed.
I gotcha. Yeah, that definitely makes sense. Obviously, riding with faster guys and just learning a little thing here and there. Not faster guys, maybe just guys at your level is obviously going to help. One thing I was curious is, how do the tracks over here compare to the ones back home in South Africa?
The tracks in South Africa are pretty good. It's just, a lot more riders riding the tracks, so they get a lot more rough. I mean, a lot more lines developed, whereas in South Africa, they don't have as many guys riding, so they don't get a lot of line choice in South Africa. It's more just one line. But also, like, track prep here, they obviously have more money here to spend on the track, so the track prep's a lot better.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Is it? I'm sure it's a big country, obviously, so I'm sure it varies, but you got sand over there? Is that really hard pack? Is it like that black dirt? What's the terrain like almost?
So we got a lot of different terrain. There's a track in PE. It's a nice sandy track. And like, it's deep sand, so it gets really deep and rough. But then you go further inland for dry bulk, and that's pretty hard pack there.
And so obviously you made it's your rookie year. You did your first Supercrosses this year. Made three mains, I believe. And you got to be yeah, three mains. And how'd that go?
Oh, that was really cool. I haven't really ridden Supercross that much, but racing it this year was a whole other experience. And to make three mains was very cool for me.
Yeah, I was kind of curious. Obviously, I don't know what it's like back home in South Africa, but I was curious on how much time you actually had on a supercross track before you made your debut.
I started riding supercross for the first time last year, October.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. That's not that much time right before, I guess, February when the East season broke off. So that's pretty good, man. And I know you had a lot of speed. Obviously, I'm a big fantasy supercross player, so I was always watching your times, and you're always up there in practice and stuff. So it's a quick learner, I guess.
Yeah. I feel like supercross for me, it comes a little bit easier because it's more technical, and I like that kind of stuff. So,
is that just from growing up riding more technical tracks, or is it even just maybe a natural thing? You just feel more natural and technical stuff, or what was that? How'd that come?
I think it's just my style. I just really enjoy when the tracks get technical. I can outdoors when the tracks get technical, like jumping bumps and switching lines. I really enjoy that.
Okay. Well, dude, you're doing awesome outdoors too, though. So pretty all around, man. Because I know these last two nationals have been pretty rough. So maybe the technical riding doesn't come into play there, but. Seems like you're doing really good, man. It's pumped to see. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. You started off full privateer in Supercross, and then did you move over to, like, the Traders Club MX team?
Yes, I got a filling ride for two rounds with them.
Okay. And how'd that come about?
The team was based in Club MX, and we have a mutual friend that builds my engine. He knew the team guys, and he kind of got us into contact with them when their guys got injured.
And how much does that help? Just obviously it's not a full factory effort or a full factory team, but how much does it help just having mechanics around, maybe expenses paid or whatever it was? How much does that help rather than being a full privateer?
It helps a lot, you know, because it takes a lot of stress off you. You don't have to go to the track, set up, and everything's pretty much done for you. And you know, they've got guys watching the racing, and they can tell you where you're lacking, where you need to do better. So that helps a lot.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. A little bit more about you, Justin. I guess when did you first come over to the USA?
I came over in 2014 for the first time.
Okay, and I was looking at your Loretta's results. You've been here, obviously raced Loretta's a couple times. Were you over here full-time, or are you just going back and forth, just coming over here for the big events?
I was coming here back and forth. I would come just for the Raiders, okay. Do the qualifiers, and then race the Raiders, and then go home.
Oh, I got you. And how tough has it been transitioning, obviously, growing up in South Africa and now living in America? How tough has that been?
It's been really hard for me and my family. America is a lot different to back at home, like food and just the way everything's done here is completely different. So that's been quite a challenge for us, but we're getting used to it and it's becoming better.
Yeah, I figure that's got to be tough too, because obviously you come over here to race professional motocross and supercross. You have a job to do. So if that's not hard enough, you know, you're training full time, you're putting in all the hard work, and then you got to kind of learn a new culture almost. It like almost adds to the pressure, I feel like.
Yeah, it certainly does. Like the food's completely different, and that plays a big thing as well.
Yeah, because I feel like maybe not so much now, because you've been here for a few months, you might be used to it or however long you've been here, but I'm sure it shocks the body almost, you know, just from going, you're eating the same thing for your majority of your life, and then just to change it up, it's gotta be tough.
Yeah, I remember when I was traveling back and forth for Loretta's, and that every time I'd go back to South Africa, I'd get really sick because of the food.
Okay.
Changing the food, so I'd always get really sick, but I've kind of got used to it now.
I gotcha. What are some like the main foods over there in South Africa? My buddy, he's South African, and he actually has a biltong company over here, and that stuff is good.
Yeah.
That stuff's really
good.
Yeah,
that stuff's really good. My dad makes his own biltong here.
Really? Yeah, I'm sure it's probably not the best training food, though, with all that salt.
No, for sure. It's nice to have it once in a while, though.
Yeah, maybe after the season as a little treat. So what does your week look like for training? Are you mountain bike? Do you cycle? You hit the gym? What's it consist of?
I do a lot of gym work, and then I mountain bike and road cycle during the week just to switch it up. I run every morning as well.
Okay, and I'm sure that's got to be tough now because it's so damn hot outside.
Yeah. Now that the season's starting to kind of don't do as much of that stuff.
That definitely makes sense. And then are you driving each round? Are you flying? What's the program looking like?
My dad and I drive.
Okay, and that's got to be tough too. You know, obviously less time during the week to do your training because you got to leave early to get to the race, and I'm sure the food on the road isn't the healthiest.
Yeah, we've also just moved homes now, so we've been pretty much flat out this week moving houses and unpacking bikes and washing everything.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about it before. I just did that too, and every time I forget how, like, annoying and almost like it is some hard work too, you know, moving all that stuff. Obviously if you got a lot of bikes and stuff, it wears on you in its own.
It's a lot of hard labor, that's for sure.
So are you we doing the rest of the rounds, skipping Washougal? What's the plan?
I'm gonna do the last three rounds.
Okay.
And this weekend.
Okay. Cool. And what are your goals? Where do you want to be at when the season ends? What place or how do you want to be doing?
I want to try to get a top 20 overall.
Okay.
I'm 22nd overall twice now. It's kind of frustrating a little bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I get a top 20 overall.
I didn't even – I was just looking at the individual motor results. That's crazy you haven't got a top 20 overall because, what'd you go, 20-20 this past weekend? And then, like, 19, 20, that's pretty – that's just unlucky,
yeah.
I guess, the way it's kind of played out.
Yeah, it's kind of sucked.
Dang, yeah, man. Well, I hope you get it, man. And obviously, I've been following you around, like I said, the fantasy supercross and motocross. So I've always had my eye on you, and it seems like you're one of those fast kids that's on a Yamaha. There's a bunch of them out there. How is that bike, and why are you riding Yamaha?
I'm riding Yamaha because my dad loves Yamahas. And I've ridden in forever since 85, so I'm kind of used to that bike now. And we got a really good gas going in my engine. It's called Bundy. So the bike is really good.
Okay, yeah. I hear even stock, those things are just insanely fast, and it's probably the best, if obviously not on the factory level, it's probably the best bike you can have to build off and be competitive with.
Yeah, I think there's a privateer. The Yamaha is definitely the best.
So, obviously, Grant Langston's calling the races. Was he kind of someone you looked up to, being from South Africa?
Yes, he was. I was sort of more into Tyler Rattray.
Okay.
I was kind of following him and Gareth Swanepoel.
Okay, yeah, man. Swanepoel was good. He was really good when he came over here. It was cool. I think,
yeah.
I don't know what it was like, 2009 or 2010 when like Rattray and Swanepoel were here, and then like Max Anstey and Tommy Searle. There was like a big international like wave of riders that came over here, and it was awesome to see. Rattray and Swanepoel were so good. I guess you're a bit younger than me, so I kind of watched Langston. How old are you, Justin?
I'm 19.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, I guess Rattray would be more your time, but dang,
yeah. And
God,
Gareth also trains me as well, so
oh,
he really helped us a lot too. Yeah.
That's got to be a cool feeling, you know, someone you kind of looked up to is now your trainer and you know, interact with on the daily.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Well, awesome, man. Hey, I really appreciate your time for this interview, man, and good luck on the rest of the season.
Yep, thank you for having me.
Yeah, real quick, who do you want to thank before we let you go?
I'd like to thank my parents, Saul, Asterix, Donnie, 100%, Val, Bundy Built Motors, and yep, that's all.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Good luck this weekend at Redbud, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you.
See you.
since the days of old, men would search for wealth untold. They dig for silver and for gold, and leave the empty holes. And way down south in the Everglades, where the black water rolls and the sawgrass waves, the eagles fly and the otters play in the land of the Seminole. So blow, blow, Seminole wind, blow like you're never gonna blow again. I'm calling to you like a long lost friend, but I know who you are. And blow, blow from the Okeechobee, gone. Progress came and took its toll, and in the name of flood control, they made their plans and they drained the land. Now the glades are going dry. And the last time I walked in the swamp, I sat up on a cypress stump. I listened close and I heard the ghost of Osceola cry. So blow, blow, Seminole wind, blow like you're never gonna blow again. I'm calling to you like a long lost friend, but I know who you are. And blow, blow from the Okeechobee all the way up to Micanopy. Blow across the home of the Seminoles, the alligators and the gophers.